kind of wiggle a bit, and we're going to change the pace a little bit. And I know I'm supposed to be a little bit of a cultural interpreter here, and I know some of you folks are out there, and you're going, well, things aren't really running on time right now. So you're the ones who raised your hand the first time. And then also stuff like, you know, well, these native people, they really speak from their hearts, you know, and that's our gift to you. So, all right. So go ahead and take a seat. Rose Highbear is a Alaska Athabascan native. She's executive director of the Native American nonprofit Wisdom of the Elders, located in Portland, Oregon. Rose is executive producer of Wisdom's Climate documentary series, including Climate and Native Wisdom, People of the Whale. I bet you didn't know that was out there, did you? People of the Whale and Climate and Native Wisdom, People of the Caribou. These films share perspectives of Alaska Native peoples regarding unprecedented climate issues, and they've been experiencing for more than 50 years. Rose has been funded by the National Endowment for the Arts to produce two more climate documentary films featuring Oregon tribes and their perspectives on the changing climate, as well as their rich cultural arts. Wisdom has created several climate-related projects, including Discovering Yidong Chik-Denang, okay. Which produces a culturally tailored multimedia climate curriculum for Native American youth in schools in Portland, Oregon, along with Native American STEAM academies and summer STEAM camps. Wisdom and Wisdom Workforce, Native American crew provides environmental assessment and habitat restoration services to local government and other landowners in the Portland area and beyond in an effort to restore threatened and endangered traditional first food species. So all these things are going on. You may not know about them. And we're really honored to have Rose with us. One thing I can say about Rose is that she is I just see in her all the time such a kind person. When I see her, I see a lot of kindness. And I really appreciate that, Rose. Thank you. So Rose is going to come, and we're going to shift gears a little bit because we need to balance things out.
Hello, friends and relatives. My name is Rose Highbear, and as Randy mentioned, I'm a Deg Tondene from Yukon River, Alaska. Grandma Sophie was born on the Yukon River in Anvik, Alaska, and that village was documented recently to be 14,500 years old. And so I'm just so honored to be part of those people who stretch all the way to Navajo country in Arizona. There is a long journey story about our people and how we left Alaska, traveled all the way along the Oregon coast and down, and also how we're related to the people over in Mongolia, Siberia, and the Sino-Tibetan people. It's all one family. But I think the reason I was asked to present today has to do with... And thank you, Grandmother, for talking about the importance of our spirituality. You mentioned it a few minutes ago. The importance of our spirituality, that's what keeps us going. It's our connection with Great Spirit that keeps us strong, because we don't let little things get us down. And I know we're not talking about little things, but my late husband always said, you know, he said, today's people, they disappoint easy. He said, it used to be our people were strong. They didn't let things get us down. Now, these are people whose hearts were on the ground because they had lost their land. Their religion was no longer legal. And yet they had that resilience inside of themselves that no matter what, they were going to survive and they were going to thrive. Their resiliency was going to become stronger every time hardship came to them. And so that's how I see our Indian people. And it's our spirituality that makes that stronger. Every time we have hardship, we pray to Great Spirit. We pray for our loved ones. We pray for our own family. We pray for our ancestors to be healed from historical trauma every day. And so when we try to keep that up, that's what makes us strong. Now, another way of healing is through our stories. And Jan asked me to present today and bring to you a story, because we founded the Northwest Indian Storyteller Association about 10 or 11 years ago, and we've been holding Native storytelling festivals in Portland every year since then. We bring it to our community to help to bring the traditions back to our own people and to share them with all people, because we believe strongly in race reconciliation. And we believe that old prophecy that says there will come a day when the people of the world will turn to Native people to learn how to live on the land and how to live with one another. And so I'm thinking of that as I tried to think of a story that would be just perfect for healing for today, because I think healing is something we reach for every day and pray for. And so I thought of the story of the little boy and the bear. I don't know if anyone has heard this story, but I've told it a few times, and it's always to help people to heal. And so we use the Hero's Journey stories. Actually, we created thousands of years ago these Hero's Journey stories, and this is one of them. And if any of you know about the Hero's Journey stories, they were made famous by Joseph Campbell, but he searched out Indian people and studied it, and then he contributed to the world this wisdom and knowledge that actually came originally from our own Indian people. And so it always involves the orphan, because these are orphan stories. The little boy, he had lost his family. He had no mom. He had no dad. His whole family had crossed. And so the people in the village were looking for his family. And they wanted to reunite him with his own direct family. And they knew that in a distant village, there was an uncle. There was a man who was related to him. And this uncle, they wanted to find him so that this little boy could be with his own family. And so they searched for him, and they found him. And they found him in this little teeny cabin, clear out. And so this man had lived with himself for a long time. And so he actually reluctantly took the nephew. This man must have had a lot of hardships in his life, because we as Indian people believe that we're all born with a pure spirit, born with goodness and strength and all the things it takes to be a good person. And yet this man must have been, his spirit must have somehow been hurt, because he was mean to this little boy. This was his own flesh and blood. And yet he starved the boy. He would cook a meal, and he would eat as much as he wanted. And if there was some left over, he would give the scraps to his nephew. He would actually get upset at the little boy, and he would beat him. And what is worse, his words. He belittled the little boy. And the little boy was troubled. He longed so much for his mom and dad that he had lost, and all of his sisters and brothers. But this was the one relative he had, and this man was treating him cruelly, beating him, starving him, and worst of all, belittling him. And so he said to himself, it's almost worse than death to be here. And so he left the home. When his uncle was away, he left the cabin, and he went out by himself into the woods. And he walked deeper into the woods, and he walked deeper. And it was getting dark. And it was the fall of the year. And I don't know how much clothes he had on, but he was getting cold. And so he looked for a place to stay for the night. And he found a little cave. And he came into it and bumped into a little bear. It was actually a bear's den, and there were the cubs were in there. The mother and the father were out hunting or something. They were not there, but he wound up huddling with the little bear cubs. And so as night fell, the mother and the father bear came back and came into the den, and they accepted the little boy. They accepted the little boy. We Indian people believe that the animals are our models. They're our role models. The way that the animals, the birds behave is many of our creation stories, our animal stories, our bird stories tell of the perfect family. And so it was the case with this bear family that they accepted the little boy. And so they began to live together. He stayed there with that family, and they would go out and they would find food, and they would bring back meat. And the little boy was fed, just like the other two little cubs. And so it went on like this. And they were out one day, all five of them. As there was a mom bear, there was a dad bear, and there were the two cubs, and then there was the little boy. And they smelt something. And they realized that a hunter was coming. And so they weren't too far from their den, and they made it back into the den. And they heard the hunter go by, but he didn't find them. And so they lived there through the winter like that. The little boy lived with his new family. And he was looked down at his hands, and he would see that he had fur growing on his hands. And he would see that his fingers were turning into claws. And his ears that were once down here, they wound up here. And his nose turned into a snout. And this little boy was becoming a bear. And so they made it all through the winter like that as one happy family. And the spring came, and they came out of their den, and they were doing the things that bears do after their hibernation. And there it was, spring hunting season again. And they smelled this. But this time they didn't make it back into their den. And here comes a hunter with a gun. And he sees them, and he's put his gun up to the little bear. And he's going to shoot that little bear cub. It had grown up a little bit over the winter, but it was still a cub. And the mother came up and stood in front of the baby bear, the bear cub, and said, "This is my son. This is my family. Don't shoot us." And the man put his gun down, and then he put his gun back up. He was going to shoot the mother. And then here come the father bear, and he stood in front of the mother, and he said, "Please don't shoot my family." And the hunter, he put his gun down again. And then he put it back up. He was going to shoot the father bear. And then here comes the cub, the little boy, the little nephew. And he stood up in front of the father bear, and he said, "Please don't shoot. This is my family. Please don't shoot us." And the man put his gun down. He heard that voice he used to know. And he said, "Are you my nephew?" And the cub said, "Yes, I'm your nephew. And this is my family now. Please don't shoot us." And the man, he did not raise his gun this time. He said, "My nephew, I've been looking all over for you. All winter I've looked for you. I went to the village and they told me I had been cruel to you. I had starved you. I beat you. And I belittled you." He said, "I didn't realize what I was doing. I feel so bad. I love you, nephew. Please come back and live with me once again. Please be part of my family." And the little bear cub said, "Well, I found my family now. I'm where I need to be." And the father bear said, "This is your family. You need to go back and live with your uncle." And so the bear cub transformed back. You look at his hands, and he was losing his fur, and all of his claws were becoming his fingers. His ears went back down to the side of his head, and he became a little boy again. And he went back to his village and lived with his nephew. That little boy became a real gift to that village, because over the winter he had learned about weather. He had learned about weather medicine. He knew all the herbs to dig for, all the roots for healing of people, and he learned all the wisdom of knowledge of the bear people. Most of all, he learned unconditional love from the bears. And so this is a story of reconciliation. This is a story of healing. This is a story that we need to take serious in our own heart and see what part am I, and help us to heal. Our communities need to heal, and we always turn to Great Spirit. We always turn to our songs, our ceremonies, and our stories to heal. And so that's the gift I'm offering you today, is that story of the little boy and the bear. Thank you.